Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, June 22nd, 1998. In the fireside room this evening, Dan Erlander is hosting the session titled, What is OSMT? This is session number 98-6, and they've begun with a song. Let's listen in.
Say it, pray it, over again, over again. Time, I've heard the bells chime, call the people to pray on a sunny Sunday. Blessed the meek and the peace that they seek over and over again. Over again. From way out in space, this earth is our place, a pinpoint of light, where dwellers still fight. Survivors shake hands, then make weapons and plans to do battle all over again. Over again.
Washington, D.C., also the city where OSMT began. And we'll focus on that now, but before that, we have Christy who's going to come and just share an opening reading. And Christy was a graduate of PLU, and one of the joys of serving as campus pastor there, we had a little OSMT group, and students made a commitment to nonviolence, and then they knelt on a pillow and we had a blessing and put a paperclip on them. So come on up. So I think of those students, there are four or five that are part of our gathering.
Okay, this is from a book called Soul Weavings, A Gathering of Women's Prayers. Do not retreat into your private world, that place of safety, shelter from the storm, where you may tend your garden, soothe your soul, and rest with loved ones where the fire burns warm. To tend a garden is a precious thing, but dearer still the one where all may grow, the weeds of poison, poverty, and war, demand your care, who call the earth your home. To seek your soul, it is a precious thing. But you will never find it on your own. Only among the clamor, threat, and pain of other people's need will love be known. To rest with loved ones is a precious thing, but peace of mind exacts a higher cost. Your children will not rest and play in quiet while they still hear the crying of the lost. Do not retreat into your private world. There are no ways but firesides to keep warm. There is no shelter from the rage of life. So meet its eye and dance within the storm. And that was by Kathy Galloway from the Iona community in Scotland.
Thank you. Do you want to introduce your son?
And this is Caleb.
Caleb.
He's starting to get a little tired again.
Thank you. Now, Christy's probably one of the newer people that have been part of OSMT, and now we're going to move the other direction to the pioneers. And I'm going to call on John Schramm, who was there in the 60s when OSMT was founded. And I'm wondering who else here tonight was at that meeting?
Larry. I guess that's it.
Two.
Anna May.
So, John, share a little about the beginnings and the history.
My assignment is very simple. I'm to do 25 years history in 3 minutes. If you were at the Eucharist last night and heard Susan Briel, when she talked about the different clothings that you can wear and how much of our society has the clothing of militarism or violence and the clothing of materialism or greed, and if you agreed with that, now what do you do? Usually after a sermon, Lutherans go down into the basement and have a cup of coffee and grunt at the enemy, and that's the extent of this commitment that you felt when the word is proclaimed. Well, we were part in Washington, D.C. of a group called the Community of Christ. And I guess you would call it a peace community. At least this was the time when we did some protesting, when we tried to respond to the violence in the world around us, and we felt impotent and we felt frustrated. So Larry Rasmussen, David Anderson, and I wrote a letter each to, I would say, 6 or 8 friends and said, this is the way we're feeling, how do you feel? And we got a response we just couldn't believe. It was almost 100%. Yes, we feel that way too, let's get together and talk. And we met in Pittsburgh and had, I think, almost 60 people, if you counted the ones who came and the ones who said, we want to be part of what you do. And if you have this one historical document, there were 30 copies, so they could spread around a little bit. You'll see what resulted from that meeting when we call for an order. We didn't know what that meant. Technically, this has never been a religious order if you go with canonical law of the Roman Catholic Church. We do not make it. Dan Berrigan called us the disorder of St. Martin and said, bless you. Why did we choose the word order? We wanted to do what the orders in their origin tried to do. Keep alive the dangerous memory of a radical gospel. Be a loyal protest movement. Hold up a beatitude that the church seemingly had forgotten, and in this case, blessed are the peacemakers. We wanted somehow to strengthen one another in a response to violence that we did not think the church was making. We even had a facetious saying that our church is pacifist between wars. That's like being a vegetarian between meals. But we weren't very powerful. We were certainly not organized. We said we would be a committee of correspondence. If you've never heard that word, that was what went on in the confessing movement in Germany that led to Dietrich Bonhoeffer and a kind of resistance that was outside of the church because of their beliefs. But we started a newsletter. We kept in touch with people. For a while, we could meet in either Pennsylvania or Ohio, and everyone could get there with one day's travel. The farthest was Michigan and Washington, D.C., so we could meet, spend a weekend together, go home, and we did that twice a year for the first year. But over the years, without ever having a paid staff, without ever having an office, at one period, the OSMT was dormant for 5 years without, as far as I know, any activity. And a woman named Barbara Borth started it up again by sending out a newsletter, and we gathered again and kind of went on from there. It has continued to have a relationship, a network. We met once, I think it was in Minneapolis, and an Episcopal priest walked in who had kept the disciplines for 6 years and had never met anyone else in the Order of St. Martin and Teresa. So we found out there was some meeting and he wanted to know what we looked like. So there are, we could fill the evening with stories, but what you have is basically a group of people who have networked together with those original commitments and that original history. If you're interested in why we chose order, there is a summary of that that I once wrote for the American Lutheran Church on what contribution religious orders could make. David Anderson wrote an article in Sojourners. If you hold that up, the long one in front of you right there, you can take one of those if you're interested. Of the three original letter signers, Larry and I are here, and David is too urban to be here. This is too much wilderness for David Anderson. He was religion editor for UPI, and now is the sole staff, isn't he? He is Religious News Service.
No, there are others. There are others.
Yes. He's in Washington, D.C. with Religious News Service.
He's the head of the office.
Two of us are here, and we had tried to get David, but anyway, that's the early history, and I'll let other people take it from that.
From the earliest history, John mentioned disciplines, like this one Episcopal priest who kept the disciplines. And I'm going to call on Ellen Gamreth, who was the national coordinator from, do you remember from year what to what?
Probably 85 to 93.
So at that time, the national headquarters of the OSNT then moved to large office spaces on Mercer Island in Washington.
In our storage room.
And Ellen has been such a wonderful support to all of us through the years. And also as one that has encouraged all of us in the disciplines. And we'll call on Ellen now to just share what the very simple disciplines that we agree to with each other in our journey.
Orders.
Can you hear her up there? Or would it be
my
better?
Voice projects pretty well. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Orders have disciplines and vows, and our order has three very simple disciplines. I want to back up a minute and say the Order of St. Martin and Teresa is composed of communities and individuals. And we had felt there would be more communities than individuals, but find that often people who are very isolated and feel that they're alone need that networking more than the communities who have each other to support them. So that that was a revelation to many of us. We are committed as individuals and as communities to following Christ by observing the spiritual disciplines and working for reconciliation through nonviolent peacemaking. Now the disciplines are very simple and anyone can follow them. It's wearing a paper clip, and some of you have seen, where's mine? every morning putting on a paper clip to remind you of commitment to nonviolence and peacemaking. So that is discipline number one. And then we commit to daily journaling, and that is a way of reflecting on the connection between our faith and life. And the third one is a brief walk, and that is a time each day for solitude and meditation. And I think it connects with Larry's programs this week of connecting with nature and knowing that we are a part of God's creation, an integral part. The values behind the disciplines are more important than just the paperclip and the walk and the journaling, but some people don't like to walk or don't take a walk, and they may do some other activity outside, like a couple of people like swimming, that sort of thing. So it is an exercise, and as everything in OSMT is, it's very flexible. And the reason, as I understand that the disciplines were chosen, is they're very simple. The paperclip, for those of you who don't know, came from the Norwegian school children who, as a sign of resistance to the Nazi occupation during World War II, tried to find something that would express their resistance that they could keep repeating, because the soldiers would rip them off and then they could always put another one on. So we carried on that tradition. That's about it.
I could add to that Norwegians invented the paperclip. Oh. I'm not making that.
We never know for sure.
But it's a wonderful story of resistance during the Nazi occupation. And as I understand it, school teachers were ordered to take all the paperclips off every day. And then students would just, you know, they're ubiquitous, so you just come back with another one the next day. So it became a symbol of protest against tyranny and violence, you know, which Order of St. Martin and Teresa then continued the paperclip as a symbol of our resistance to all the voices of violence in our society.
Dad, I think we have time for your story about your marriage counseling.
I have two stories. The first one is real fast. If you ever wonder if there's value in belonging to OSMT, that once our car broke down, and I crawled under and found out a piece of plastic had fallen against the wheel on the inside, and I took my paperclip and repaired it, and it's been fine ever since. The other was I was pre-marriage counseling at PLU for two students who were getting married. And that afternoon, I found a green rubber band on the sidewalk, put it on my ear with the idea of taking it off, putting it in my desk when I got back, forgot it. So later that night, Karen and my brother, we were eating. I said, "Why do you have a green rubber band on your ear?" He says, "Oh, goodness." And I called the couple and I said, "Did you see a green?" Yes, they said, "We're still talking about it." She said, "I just called my mother to see if she'd have any idea." And my mother said, "Well, I know they were in this paper clip group. Maybe they've moved up to rubber bands." And I hope these folks over in resist, part of authentic resistance, as John said, is also a spirit of joy and humor, and that has always been part of the Order of St. Martin. Now, you've noticed the names, Martin and Teresa. The order began as the Order of St. Martin, and then probably 10 years ago there was a concern about having both men and women saints. So that's when we added wonderful Teresa. And we are really talking about Martins and Teresas, and these are the saints of the Order of Saints Martin and Teresa. These are the ones that we model our life after. These are the ones that we honor. And Larry Rasmussen is going to share just a little about, and we now have so many Martins and Teresas that if you miss some, there'll be others that can. Yeah.
Well, the saints, Martins and Teresas, is a little bit like the paperclip. I mean, there's both a very serious point here as a resistance against tyranny and a commitment to nonviolence, and at the same time, something a little bit whimsical about it. So that, I mean, ordinarily you don't find an order that has a kind of composite saint, Saint Martin. It was started out as the Order of Saint Martin, but there were three of them. It was Martin Luther, whom you may or may not think of as a saint at all, and in Martin Luther's theology of the cross, it was Martin Luther King and his commitment to suffering, love, and nonviolence as a way of life and liberation for both the oppressed and the oppressor. And it was Martin of Tours, who was a 4th century Roman soldier who laid down his arms, became a pacifist. Didn't pick a good century for that. And then became a bishop, set up his stool, his in the milk stool in the middle of the marketplace, and that's where the cathedra, the seat of the bishop was as he conducted his affairs as a bishop there, and his commitment to nonviolence and a simple way of life and the renunciation of wealth and power that at his time came with being a bishop. As Dan mentioned, gender equity soon took over here, and we couldn't stay with the composite saint of Saint Martin. And the wonderful Teresas started joining the ranks. I've never seen a list that remained stable for this list of Martins and Teresas. At one point, Martin Buber made the list. I don't see him on the list now.
Martin Niemöller made the list.
20th century German pacifist, Lutheran pastor, leadership in the Confessing Church as resistance against the Arianization of the Lutheran Church in Germany. Martin de Porres, the 17th century Spanish Indian healer, worker committed to the poor people of Peru. Teresa of Avila, 16th century Spanish reformer, teacher, administrator, renewer of community life, one that I had to ask about today and didn't know about. Teresa of Lisieux, a French youth in the last century, kind of counterpart of Brother Lawrence, who finds God in the midst of ordinary everyday chores that we all have to do, and the way of peacemaking carried out in the ordinary tasks of every day. Not a dramatic witness, but the common witness as a witness of peace. Some of you know that Maria Teresa was the confirmation name for Dorothy Day, 20th century co-founder with Peter Morin of the Catholic Worker movement, known for her solidarity with the poor and resistance to the realities of evil in the city. I love the story that Robert Coles tells about his visit to the Catholic Worker House, and Dorothy Day is sitting at, I think it was in St. Joseph House, and near between 1st and 2nd Avenue in Manhattan on 7th Street. And Robert Coles finds Dorothy Day sitting there talking with this woman who is obviously down on her luck and bedraggled and homeless, and so on. They're carrying on this animated conversation that keeps going on and on and on, this conversation. And Robert Coles wants to meet Dorothy Day. He's heard about Dorothy Day, and he finally kind of edges up. And she looks up and she says to Robert Coles, did you wish to speak with one of us? It was her sense of an absolute kind of equality. Everyone as a child. Or which one of us did you wish to speak with? I think was her question. So there are a number of Martins and a number of Teresas, all I suspect reflecting for people in the Order of St. Martin's and Teresa's facets of peacemaking. So pretty soon you start hearing this story about this saint and that story about that saint. But it's all facets of peacemaking, by example, lives worthy of imitation, by what they said and what they wrote, showing up in the journal at times, and by their dreams.
Thank you. Are there any other Martins or Teresas that anybody knows about?
Yes, I'm a little surprised that Larry forgot this one because we deliberately included the purple Martin.
That's correct.
Because we're so anthropocentric.
Nice.
Touché.
What's that?
Edith Stein.
Ellen was telling me about Edith Stein. Teresa Benedicta.
Yeah. In fact, we just had an hour special this last week on National Public Television.
She was just recently canonized by the Catholic Church. She was a Jewish convert to Catholicism and was killed at Auschwitz on August 9th.
And then Ellen said she volunteered to take the place of someone else. Is that right?
Right.
Well, right or down, we have another saint.
She is actually a friend of.
And the other one I would add is St. Martin Wells of Holden, which we say with a smile, but also can talk to Martin about that. He takes his name and the Martins as models very seriously. So sometimes alone I add Martin of Holden. these are heroes, and part of the statement that is made with these names is how we do live in a society that is bereft of heroes of peace and nonviolence that we can hold up, and how young people can model lives after. So it's joyful, but it is also very serious. And now we'll sing.
Yes, we'll sing a song that you actually passed on to me in the mid-80s. When we were living here together, Holden Village.
Oh, I know what
by
it is.
Jim Manley.
The three men.
Yeah, the three other saints.
Mm-hmm.
One who is named Martin, the other you will recognize, I'm sure. This is the chorus. Three strong links in a freedom chain. Three strong links in a freedom chain. Three strong links in a freedom chain. A Jew and a Hindu and a black man slain. Let's try it. Here we go. Three strong links in a freedom chain. Three strong links in a freedom chain. Three strong links in a freedom chain. A Jew and a Hindu and a black man slain. One walked the road to Calvary. One walked for salt to the Indian Sea. One walked for freedom in Montgomery. A Jew and a Hindu and a black man.
A black man slain.
is our national leader, and I'm going to begin by interviewing you. Is this a full-time job?
Except he took over your storage space and staying in my dining room.
What do you do when you get up in the morning and go to... You do have a job.
I do have a job.
What is your work in D.C.?
I work for an organization called the Center for Applied Linguistics, which basically mostly deals with issues of language and education. So we deal with things like foreign language education in the schools. We deal with adult literacy issues for people whose language is other than English. We deal with bilingual education. We deal with testing issues. If it's language, we do it, as we say.
And then you go home.
And then I go home, and then go over to the dining room, and there are journals and letters and slips of paper and quotes. And in 1993, I guess it was, Ellen felt she could no longer be national coordinator, and we had all come to depend on her for being sort of a tower of strength. And there was this sort of, well, who's going to do this question? And somehow, I guess OSMT must have had some kind of an influence on my life, because I opened my mouth and I said, well, I'll do it for a year. And we'll talk about it at the end of the following year. Well, it's 5 years later, and I'm still doing it. My task is to tell you a little bit about the practical sides of what happens with OSMT. It is a time-consuming job. There's no getting around it. But we are basically, as Ellen said, a group of communities and individuals. We used to be mostly a lot of communities. In fact, I was sort of going through just mentally, just counting. There's the community of St. Martin in Minneapolis. There's the community of Christ. There was in Washington, D.C. There was a San Diego group that used to meet. There was a Paloma group in Southern California in the L.A. area. There's the Eighth Day community in Kalamazoo. There was the Seattle, whatever it was, called yourselves. Portland Potluck. And then in Albuquerque, there used to be the Journey group. It's really very interesting that from my perspective, OSMT has changed, and maybe the whole Wuthrow's concept of bowling alone has become a reality in many ways, because most of these communities now no longer function in any active sense. But our list from the old days has grown after Ellen called it. Ellen and Karen went through and just called it pretty severely to almost 500 names now. So something's happening somewhere. I'm not quite sure. I don't know whether it's because of the Sorensen's 'Tis a Gift to Be Simple book, or in which we're mentioned, because I get a lot of queries about that. You know, we read about you in that book. We are now going to be mentioned again in another resource book that the Presbyterians are going to be publishing. But it seems, and I get a lot of letters which we share, some of pieces of which we share in the newsletter, of people being out there by themselves in places that take courage to live a life of peace and justice and looking at life nonviolently. So for me, even though this has been 5 years of lots of work, it has also been just an amazingly enriching experience. I'm not complaining about the work. What we do is the disciplines. But I would suspect that many of the people on the list that who get the journal quarterly probably don't do the disciplines. We don't know. We don't ask that question. If they want to say they are, that's fine. I don't feel it's up to me to ask that question. That's what the journal says the Order of Saint Martin and Teresa is. If people want to follow it, that's up to them to do. We have the newsletter, Janelle. Where's Janelle? Oh, there she is. Janelle Cole puts that together. And she has been just wonderful about putting the newsletter together. I send her stuff, luckily for fax machines now. We can cut our time a little shorter. But that also goes out with the journal. And that often has things like, for those of you who don't know, information about books people are reading, the kind of some of the experiences they've been having. For example, Michael and Susan's, some of their comments from their trip to Southeast Asia are in that. People's journeys, you know, as they go along, get shared through that. Sometimes I wish people would share pieces of their journals with us, but that hasn't quite happened yet. The journal is put together sometimes by communities, groups of people, and sometimes by individuals. Sometimes they have themes, and sometimes they're a mishmash of lots of different ideas. It depends. Most of them tend to have a bit of a theme for a while, and then they change. So for 10 or 12 days or a week, you get a theme, and then it moves on to something else. And it covers everything from some pretty conventional spirituality to some pretty radical thoughts. A lot of it does indeed center down around looking at life from an alternative point of view, and that happens to be nonviolence.
Or maybe you ought to say that the journal is a reading for every day of that course.
Yes. Okay. The journals, for those of you again, there are some old journals here. You're perfectly welcome to take them. There's a reading for each day. We do have attribution. I think we tend to break the copyright laws quite a bit, but I figure they can come after me when they're ready. There was a time, as John said, when they used to gather twice a year. But then it went to biennial years. One year was on the West Coast and one year was in the Midwest. We never quite seemed to quite get it together to meet on the East Coast. So the Midwestern meeting meets usually at the St. Benedict Center in Madison, Wisconsin. And the Western group usually meets somewhere around the Seattle area. So Seebeck has been one place.
Loma near Luther Bible Institute.
Yeah, by the Bible Institute. So, this year was our 25th. Sometimes it doesn't happen at all. Last year there were no national gatherings. Somehow our arrangements sort of fell apart and nobody gathered. So this is our 25th year. I don't know. Oh, well, how many states do we cover? We cover about 36 states. We have people in 36 states and about 5 countries. South Africa, England, Canada, lots of Canadians. A couple people in Israel and the Republic of Palau, believe it or not. I don't know what else to say. If anybody has any more questions, we ask for a donation towards the printing of the journal. But more importantly, what I try to do is to try to get everybody to respond. Just let me know you still exist. Let me know that you still want to get the journal. and the money is relevant.
Now, Mary said it was ecumenical?
Yes, it's ecumenical. We're mostly Lutherans, from what I can figure out. But there are Episcopalians, Methodists, Presbyterians, some Unitarians, actually, who seem to put up with a lot of this Christ talk, which is kind of nice. I don't know Roman Catholics.
Yes.
A lot of Roman Catholics. But I don't know. I mean, you know, there are a number of people who are only the new people who sign up, you know, do I know something about who they are. A number of Quakers, of course, Mennonites. Yeah.
Another thing that became sort of a tradition, but it's been
right,
was to have the national or regional gatherings on the 4th of July.
That's right.
As an alternative way of celebrating who we are.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so all of those at St. Benedict Center were held so that it included the 4th of July.
That's right.
Okay.
Do we want to ask some of the people who are in OSMT?
Yeah, why don't we, do you have a song while we're thinking about that? after the song would be just a time for some who have been part of OSMT to just share what it has meant to you or what... how it has been helpful for you. So we'll have the song first, and then if are you ready, or should
yeah.
I keep? Okay.
Okay, class. Here's our song. It's not super hard, so if you can't see the board, don't be too scared. It's actually around, and we're going to just see if we can teach you the melody. And if it goes really well, then we'll just try it as a round. If it doesn't, then we'll try it as a round the next time. And some pastor or some Bible scholar, tell me where this comes from. Okay. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace.
Isaiah 5.
All right. Okay, it goes like this. The first line is done twice, so it's like this. I'll sing it and then you can repeat it. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Try that one more time. I'll sing it. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. And because it's around, you're going to have to really listen to the rhythm as well as the melody. Okay. So that's the first two lines, and then I'll just do this one into this, and then we'll repeat it. But don't... just coming on the before. And be led forth in peace before you, mountains and hills will break into cries of joy. So it's really slowly.
You'll get it. You'll get it.
Little chance. How about before you, mountains and hills? Again.
Before you, mountains and hills.
Let's try that much.
Before you, mountains and hills will break into cries.
Nice. Of joy.
Of joy.
Let's try the whole before you.
Before you, mountains and hills will break into cries of joy.
You shall indeed go out.
Joy.
And all the trees of the hills
shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Before you, mountains and hills will rain to cries of joy, and all the trees of the wild will clap their hands.
I just heard one part. And all the joy,
and all the trees of the wild will clap.
Try and see if it falls apart.
Okay, why don't you take one side and I'll take
it.
We'll just do it two parts
this time. Oh, yeah. Okay, the reassuring part of this round is that one side starts with this you shall indeed, and another side comes in, we're singing exactly the same thing, so it seems very easy, right? But then it starts to, you know, get more complex, like life.
Okay, why don't I take everybody from, like, Gary and Francis over here, and then we'll do it here.
Okay. Oh, and I'm going to be over here so that it's hard to know where to stand. Okay, we'll still stand. Okay, so we're starting here. One, two.
You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. For you shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. And all the mountains and hills will bring into sight of joy. And all shall indeed go out with joy.
People that share a vision of peace and nonviolence, the rest of the world starts making sense again. And we need to gather together. We need the journal. We need other ways. We need to find each other so we can continue to be what John Sharma used to call disillusioned. Do you get it? The illusions of this world begin to make sense, and we need to gather together and remind ourselves that there's another vision. And that is what OSMT has meant to me, and the relationships, the context, and our sharing together. So I ask two things. Are there other ways of just saying, what has this meant? Or for you who are here and listening, do you have questions to ask any of the people? So let's just share either. What is another reflection, or what is the question?
I'll jump in. For me, I've always been part of one of those individuals, because I've lived in places that are hard to get to for the people, like Montana and eastern Iowa and now rural Nebraska. So for me, being an individual in OSMT has been my way of networking with a peace group. Although I have been involved with Nebraskans for Peace, this is my one way to keep informed, keep in line, and also keep in the discipline.
Cool.
I was glad to hear where all these new names are coming from. I used to be able to get the newsletter, and you know, at least half of the people knew who they were. But now it seems like there's all these names in there, and so just hearing that it's coming, it's almost like this new blood coming in. And even though this little community, or the community groups are not as active as they used to be, it's just individually, it's almost like the bigger community is that much healthier.
I remember when my husband went to Umanuk Mission Viejo as the Lutheran pastor in the middle of Orange County, and people were a little concerned for him because they felt, you know, he may be tarred and feathered down there. And he'd always promised himself he would never, ever let a service go by without mentioning peace and social justice. And I remember this one lady said, my husband would never have come to church before, but now he gets up in the morning while he's putting his pants on, and he says, I wonder what he's going to say to upset me.
I found over the years, from the time that I knelt on that cushion and was paperclipped by hand, and being part of I was part of a community there at college and in some of the different organizations, and it was a lot easier to remember and to be part of that. But really now that I'm where I'm living and I'm working and I don't see the same faces of that community every day, it really is, it does have to be a reminder. And I don't have a paperclip on right now, but when the people that I work with ask me, you know, what is that all about? And really having to sum up, okay, how do I put this in words that will connect with you and you'll understand what this means to me and how big this is and how important it is to have that reminder. And there's been so many times when, you know, to just see someone say, okay, and maybe not click, but then there's so many other times when they say, wow, they've said, wow, you know, that sounds really interesting, and we found a connection, and I found another part of a community.
You also brought up, which we forgot to mention, that part of the purpose of the paperclip is you remind yourself each day that, of the call to be a peacemaker. And also some people ask. And sometimes you're in the mood to tell them, other times I just say, oh my goodness, I put a paperclip on. I want to share something from, I guess we all have like highlights in our life, but what I learned at PLU with this small group of students who came together around the issue of nonviolence is that young people can learn and will learn the principles of nonviolence and actually do them in a very, very loving and mature way. And when some very hard issues came to campus, it took some resistance to see students who had studied nonviolence, practiced nonviolence, actually to do it before people who were in conflict with them. You know, I guess we could all point to those times, so I was so thrilled. And just, it always continues to be a sign of hope to me from that experience. Others?
We've always challenged one another to get a symbol, and we've never found one. We always admired Gandhi, who had the simple drop weaving, spinning as the symbol, because it was a form of meditation. It was against the law, which was a law that was an unfair and unjust law, because the common people couldn't spin their own garments because of the British Empire needing to sell them garments. And it made a coat for them, and they were cold and needed it. So that was, I mean, it brought everything together as far as justice, a practical use for it, and meditation. And we have never found it. So there's always the possibility that you will, this group will include the person who comes up with the symbol for the OSM team. 25 years and we haven't found it.
Well, I think it's close to Vespers, and I want to share, there's literature around here, also information forms. The other thing I want to announce, that tomorrow's session is going to be several people who are going to share more deeply into the contemplative vision and the alternative vision that we share as peacemakers. So it won't be so much advertising advertising Order of St. Martin and Teresa, but it will be more a session sharing the vision. And then on Wednesday, the session will be similar, where we'll share more in depth nonviolence, the Christian teachings about nonviolence, the principles of nonviolence, and our experiences in seeking, with God's grace, to live the life together of nonviolence in our world. Then also, for all of those who are here, our last evening on Wednesday evening, we are going to have just a gathering and a closing devotions, or closing worship in the Creekside, and everyone's welcome.
And tomorrow night's forum. But tomorrow night's forum is also on violence.
Right. And then, tomorrow night's forum, we want to share with each other on the whole issue of violence in our society, especially in the context of school shootings that we've. So welcome to all of these. And then on Wednesday we'll have a party, and bring food, steal food.
And not by the way.
And do we have welcome back. And
we really need to somehow reformulate this whole
thing.
Yeah, just one practical thing. If any of you pick these up, and just be careful with the address.